Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21. And I shall be reading from the English Standard Version. You have the New King James Version published in front of you. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." This is our text. Fellow redeemed in Christ, have you ever seen the effects of smallpox upon a person who has contracted that disease? Maybe many of you, are familiar with somebody who has had chicken pox. And if you had that disease, a lot of people in the baby boomer generation who were not vaccinated got it. You know that it leaves little pock marks in the skin. I remember once when I was in the military in a combat zone years ago, seeing a child who had survived smallpox, which was much worse than chickenpox. His entire face, arms were gouged with hundreds of quarter-inch pits. The awful effects of that disease. In that war zone, the power of the military was also demonstrated by B-52 bombers, leaving similar marks upon the landscape, high in the stratosphere at 20,000 feet, where you could not hear them, you could not see them. They dropped their 750-pound bombs, and when they hit, they decimated anything that was underneath them. Gouging out of the earth, large craters 50 feet across, 30 feet deep. What disease could do to the human face, bombs could do to the earth, creating bomb tracks that you could see as they marched across the earth. Pop marks, a moonscape of craters, which in South Asia, after the rainy season, made the rice paddies look like 1,000 swimming pools that nobody wanted to swim in. What shock and awe. And then 20 years later in Iraq, B-52 bombers dropped, and now they had upped them to 2,000-pound bombs, which decimated entire battalions of the elite Iraqi forces, who then came in large droves surrendering because of the fear of what they had seen. The Jews of Jesus' day would love to have seen such power displayed in restoring the kingdom of Israel, taking back territory from the Romans for God. Jews thought of their past history of glory under King David. Remember the warrior king who went out and defeated the thousands? They longed for a divine messianic king who would return in shock and awe, as he very well could have. New York, as many of you have heard, is currently under a flutter at the arrival of Prince William and Kate, Prince's next king and his wife. Everybody recognizes Prince William, but when Jesus came, nobody recognized him as the king of the universe, and they failed to see that the kingdom of God had arrived and that God was walking among them, just as he had walked among Adam and Eve in the garden, speaking with a still, small voice of truth. not shock and awe, but a Prince of Peace. Now, in today's text, Jesus is speaking to two audiences, really. To the Pharisees, who are not the followers of Jesus, who have rejected him, in the verses that we have in front of us, verses 21 and 22. But then the disciples are overhearing what he is saying to the Pharisees. In verse 22, which follows after our text for today, through verse 37, Jesus turns to the disciples and speaks to them as a primary audience, and then the Pharisees can listen into what he has to say to them. In our text, he's speaking to Pharisees about his first coming. In verses 22 through 37, he's speaking about the second coming and the signs that will accompany it. So here he is, speaking to the Pharisees in direct response to the question that they have just asked him. When is the kingdom of God going to come? And so in direct response to the Pharisees, notice he's speaking to them, very clear from our text, about when God's kingdom will return. And remember, they assume a Davidic-style kingdom of glory, territory. Jesus replies, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, oh, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Two reasons why you will not be able to say, here is the Messiah, or there is the Messiah. Number one, God's reign as king is not a future thing. It has already come. You're looking at the kingdom with Jesus Christ. He is the king, and all those who come in contact with him are being either saved or judged. And God in Christ desires not to judge people for hell, but rather he wants the judgment of everlasting life to come to them. He wants them to believe in him. But he does judge those. In fact, the very rejection of Christ then and now is, in fact, the rejection of that very person. Christ's words and actions are the coming of the kingdom. God's kingdom focuses not on territory, but on action. In fact, the territory of Jesus is the human heart. Secondly, it is second coming. He will come in clouds of glory, and there's not going to be any warning. Nobody's going to know about it. You're not going to be able to point to him there or there, because the end of the world will have come, and now there will be the judgment. Where is the kingdom? It is possible to translate this verse that we have here today, as does the New King James Version, within you. The kingdom of God is within you. We are, in fact, members of Christ's kingdom by faith. It is the rule of Christ, the King, over our hearts that really creates the kingdom. It is an invisible kingdom that nobody can see but God. And that's why it's invisible. But in our text today, the ESV translation may be more appropriate, where it says, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Because since, if you look at the Greek, the word you is plural. So he's not talking to individuals. Secondly, he's talking to Pharisees who do not believe in him. So they're not going to have the kingdom within their hearts. Thus, the other possible way of translating this verse, in the midst of you, maybe best, because remember, his primary audience is the Pharisees. The secondary audience that he's going to turn to in verse 22 are the disciples. So what he's saying to the Pharisees are, there are people in your midst who are part of that kingdom, who have come to faith, who, unlike you, have not denied who I am. They are the real recipients of the kingdom. And that same kingdom is today ours by faith in the very same way. Jesus Christ came during his first coming. He healed the sick, the blind, the lame, preached good news to the poor. If the military can bring destruction, Jesus brought healing and, above all, the peace of God through the forgiveness of sins. The shock and awe that is to be found within Jesus Christ, the Savior, is found when he goes to Jerusalem. For there it is that they, the Romans, nail him to a cross. How shocking and how awful a way to die. But in that very awesome death, Jesus won our salvation, and it was through that portal that he entered into his kingdom of glory and assumed the throne that he even now reigns from to this day. Over our hearts, to this day, God comes into our midst, and he does it through word and sacrament, and he lives within our hearts by faith, so that no matter how awesome and how shocking your sins, it doesn't matter what you have done, Jesus came and died that most awesome and shocking death to remove our sins. And so in that still, small voice, the voice of the gospel, Christ says to you, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. The visible mark of the kingdom of Christ. Amen.